scripture this morning is fitting. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Let's listen now together for the word of the Lord. After this, Jesus appeared again to the disciples, this time at the Tiberias Sea, the Sea of Galilee. This is how he did it. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the brothers Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter announced, "I'm going fishing." The rest of them replied, "We're going with you." They went out and got in the boat. They caught nothing that night. When the sun came up, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to them, "Good morning. Did you catch anything for breakfast?" They answered, "No." He said, "Throw the net off the right side of the boat and see what happens." They did what he said. All of a sudden, there were so many fish in it, they weren't strong enough to pull it in. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the master." When Simon Peter realized that it was the master, he threw on some clothes, for he was stripped for work, and dove into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, for they weren't far from land, 100 yards or so, pulling along the net full of fish. When they got out of the boat, they saw a fire laid with fish and bread cooking on it. Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter joined them and pulled the net to shore, 153 big fish. And even with all those fish, the net didn't rip. Jesus said, "Breakfast is ready." Not one of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the master. Jesus then took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had shown himself alive to the disciples since being raised from the dead. This is the word of God. These words are true, and they can be trusted. Pray with me, please. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your creation, for this great sanctuary that we can worship in. And God, we give you thanks that you meet us here, that you are waiting for us. And Lord, we thank you that even though sometimes we may not recognize you, you still are present and at work. And so we pray, come Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to help us, to reveal yourself, to lead us and guide us, that we might know you more fully, that we might walk with you, that we might recognize your presence, that we might join you on mission in the world. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's children said, Amen. There are countless reasons that I absolutely count it the greatest joy in the world to be the lead pastor at Foley United Methodist Church. I could spend the rest of our time together this morning naming off one after another of the things that I have come to love that just continually confirms to me that my appointment to Foley is a match made in heaven. It's everything I could ever have hoped to be. But somewhere near the top of the list, if I was going to list off the things that make this church so special to me, the Galilean service would be right near the top. I had no idea what the Galilean service was before I came 2 years ago to begin serving here. And so only knowing that it was a service that our church hosted, on my very first Sunday, I came to my very first Galilean service, which was over in the pavilion because it had rained that morning. And what I encountered that moment was one of the most powerful worship experiences I've ever had. In this basic and simple service with just a couple of instruments and singers in front of God's creation, God was present in a way that I hadn't experienced in many worship services anywhere. And as I began to come over and over again and try and be as present as I could at the time, I kept finding that this seemed to be what the church fathers from centuries ago called a thin space, that it was a place where somehow the presence of God felt closer than maybe everywhere else, that when we came and gathered in these places, that there was something about the moment, there was something about the place that said God is here and present and at work. That's been confirmed over and over again as I've heard testimonies from people, even this morning, people coming saying that they're here because something special happens. But over the years, hearing people talk about how their lives are changed as they come and worship at this place. One of the things that I find amazing is I spend time around the Galilean service, is that there are people who come to worship on the beach that otherwise might not ever go to a worship service. for whatever reason, they have little interest in walking into the sanctuary of a church. They have little interest in gathering in what would be a more formal or organized place. But something about this space seems open and inviting. And it's a place where God is accessible and they feel that they're welcomed and included. This was a lot of what Kim Kelly and I talked about just about 2 weeks ago when we gathered to begin talking about what the Galilean service would look like this year. As we began to say, what does it mean for us to create this space where people are coming and encountering God? How do we do that in a way that helps people grow, that helps them take steps in their own relationship with God? We talked about some of the things that she's done already this morning, creating silence and space to just rest and be in God's presence. We talked about songs that we would use and this idea of trying to slow ourselves down from the regular world, trying to make ourselves more ready. But as I began to think about the message for today, I was reminded again that in many ways, what we're doing here isn't original to us. In many ways, what we hope to encounter here on the shore of the Gulf of Mexico isn't something that we're creating. It's something that we see God already doing. It's something that we seem to be joining into, an example that He gives us. And it's a chance for us to step into a place where we know He'll show up. In fact, I think what we could say that we find as we gather here on the shores of the Gulf of Mexico is the same thing that the disciples found on the Sea of Galilee so many years ago. It was in that moment that there was a place to find a new relationship with God and a new way of joining what it was He was doing. The story that I read just a minute ago is probably the most preached on text at the Galilean service. Probably more preachers have come here and thought, you know what would be clever and cute is for me to preach on the text about the beach at the Galilean service. And so probably in the 68 years, at least once a summer, if not more, someone has preached on this text. But I thought it was fitting for us to think about it today because it really is the grounds of what we hope God is doing in our midst. The story comes in the days immediately after the resurrection. It comes in a part of the book of John, which for me is one of the most crucial texts for you and me to understand what it looks like to live in relationship with God. All through the story of the gospel, we see Jesus interacting with His disciples. But the way that He interacts with them in those places is the same way we interact with each other. It's as a physical person engaging one-on-one. And so we can learn an awful lot about Jesus. We can learn what His character is. We can learn His teachings. We can apply those things in His lives. But it becomes challenging sometimes when we think, what does it mean for us to live in relationship with Jesus? Because Jesus, as we know Him, as the one who was crucified, died, buried, and risen from the grave, who ascended back to heaven, the way we engage with Him is not the same as those original 12 disciples. But what God gives us in the end of the book of John is a picture of how that's going to happen. Because when Jesus rises from the dead, we see Him engaging with His disciples over and over again, but it's different. And really, what those four encounters look like is it's a snapshot of how our relationship will look like with Jesus when we can't see Him, when it's just the presence of the Holy Spirit at work, when it's just Him moving in our midst. If you follow the story after Easter, the first encounter is that Jesus meets His disciples in the upper room. They're scared because it's been a crazy week. They're scared because they watched their friend Jesus die, and now there's beginning to be rumors that He is perhaps alive, and they don't know what that means, and they don't know how they will get to interact with Him again, if anything will ever be the same. And miraculously, Jesus shows up in the midst of the empty of the upper room, and he eats a piece of fish, and He shows them the nail-scarred hands, and He challenges them. He says, "My mission is not over. I'm inviting you now to take what I've done and carry it on, to take the power of the Spirit that I'm going to breathe onto you and walk in My power to continue this message of announcing that the kingdom of God has come." I don't know if it was too much for them to grasp or it was too big for them, but for whatever reason, that first start was kind of like sometimes when you go out on a cold morning and try and crank a car and it just won't quite turn over. The disciples just won't quite turn over. They don't quite get to what Jesus has called them to. And the very next scene we see is the one that I read just a moment ago. And we find the disciples now about 100 miles to the north, sitting in a boat on the Sea of Galilee, far absent from where Jesus called them to action, far absent from what Jesus called them to do, far absent from this desire He has to see them live fully into His purpose. I think this is something that you and I do in our lives too. We have these places where everything seems to kind of go wrong, where we hit these hardships, where we don't know what's happening in our lives, where we can't make sense of things, where things aren't the way they used to be. And we tend to find, how can I just kind of go back to normal? How can I forget all this? How can I check out? How can I live in an autopilot that will allow me to not have to engage anymore? We do it in small things of going, I'm just going to go in the den and turn the TV on and veg out. Just a way to check out. I'm just going to go and have a drink. But we do it in big ways too. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move back home. I'm going to get away from all this. I'm going to leave. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to get a new job. I'm going to get a new spouse. We do this with all kind of things. To say when we can't make sense of where we are, when we don't know what to do, we try and push away from it. That's what the disciples are doing. We don't know if it's because they knew they had to go back to work and they're trying to join the family business again to start fishing. They don't know if it's because they were hungry and they knew they were going to have to eat breakfast. Or maybe it was just Peter saying, you know, when I don't know what else to do, I'm going fishing. And so that's what he says. He says, I'm going fishing. And the other guys say, we're going with you. And so that night they go out and they get out on the Sea of Galilee, probably a sea not quite as rough as this, but they're out and they're just a few hundred yards from the shore when their boat's there, and they fish all night as they would have done in the first century in that area of the world. And when the morning sun begins to come up over the horizon, they have caught a grand total of zero fish. Now, if you think about how rough the disciples' lives had been over the last few weeks. If you think about all they had endured and the fact that perhaps they're running away from what it is that God is trying to call them to. And then they say, we're going to try and find the one place where we can feel normal. We're just going to go fishing. And then to catch zero fish, this had to be the low of the low. This had to be about the most broken and sad and despondent place that those disciples could have found themselves. And then seemingly to make matters worse, as the sun begins to rise over the horizon, they see an unknown man standing there in the edge of the water who calls out to them, did you catch any fish? The shame and humility of having to say, no, we didn't catch any fish. The pain of saying, no, we failed as fishermen. I don't even know who it is, and they're hoping that a quick no would just pass him on and he'd continue his morning jog down the beach. But he stands there, and then he becomes the fishing expert. He begins to try and tell them, oh, well, I can solve all your problems. How many of you have a friend like that, that you tell him, you just want to say, I'm struggling with this, and they're like, let me fix your problems for you. But this is Jesus. They don't know it yet, but he's the one who can change their whole situation. And so he says to them, throw the net on the right side of the boat. And for whatever reason, probably because they didn't have another option, they said, okay. And they drop the net down, and you can see it going down into the water. You can see it lowering below. And as soon as they start to pull on it, it gets tight, unlike anything they had felt that night. And as soon as they start to lift, something happens. And I think it's John is the one who says, this reminds me of a scene before. This reminds me where someone else told me to drop the nets. This reminds me where someone else showed that they were the masters of the sea, and something happened. And immediately the dots connect in his mind, and as they begin to try and lift that net out of the water, all of a sudden they say, that's Jesus. And then you got to love Peter. Because Peter's that one who acts before he thinks. Anyway, you got a friend like that? And so before they even know what's going on, he has dove into the water, and he is swimming furiously all the way to the beach because they think it could be Jesus. And as they run up onto the beach and the boat pulls up, Jesus invites them to come and eat a meal with them. And what we see is that Jesus is showing himself in places that they would have never expected. Jesus is showing himself in ways that they wouldn't have first recognized. Jesus is showing himself in ways that meets them exactly where they are. I love this scene on the beach. I can just imagine that if we lit a fire and had breakfast some morning out here, it would be just like this. Because here's Jesus. And I think sometimes what we want to do, and maybe I'm guilty of this, is the pastor of the church or the church is guilty of this, is that we want to get mad when people don't seem to get it right. We want to get mad when people don't seem to understand what Jesus is doing the first time he tries. We want to get mad that people don't immediately take steps in their faith the way that we hope they will. But that's not how we see Jesus acting in your life and in my life. What we see here is Jesus, a Jesus who showed up in the upper room and said, I want you to join my mission. And then they ran away 100 miles. And Jesus shows up again. And he cooks them a meal. He says, I'm not mad. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to shame you. I'm not here to make you feel guilty for making the wrong choice. I'm here to invite you in to what I'm doing. And I will continue to open the doors wide. I will continue to invite you into me as long as it takes to get you to come in. And so if that means I have to show up on the beach and show up as a guy that you don't recognize and get you to swim across the sea to come up and have breakfast with me, I'm going to do it. Because I want you. I want you to be a part of me. I want you to join what I'm doing. I don't want you to miss the new relationship that I'm offering to you. There are all kinds of applications that we can make from this scene on the beach. When they come up onto Jesus and they find him around that fire, Jesus does not need anything from them. Jesus isn't waiting to get those fish to be able to feed them breakfast. Jesus isn't waiting to be able to do something until they show up. Jesus has by himself everything he needs to do what he wants to do. That's true in our world today too. But yet Jesus invites Peter and those disciples to come and offer what they have into what he's doing. Because he says, when we join together, when you give a part of who you are and what you have to me, I can do something in you. We can be a part of something magnificent. We can be a part of something that will change the world. And there on a beach beside the sea, Jesus invites some confused and curious people into a new relationship and a partnership that's the best thing for them. I wonder if on this Mother's Day, I wonder if as we look out into this sea, I wonder if as we begin the 68th year of meeting in this space, if Jesus might be here to meet you. I wonder if you might find yourself somewhat like those disciples. I wonder if you might feel that maybe you missed it or got the wrong answer at some point. I wonder if maybe you've heard the voice, and forgive me if it's the church that's ever done it, that has said, why can't you get your act together? And I wonder if in this moment, Jesus might be here, perhaps in a way you don't recognize yet, but yet inviting you, beckoning you, calling you in. Because Jesus will continue to pursue us. He will chase us down till the ends of the earth until we might come in and feast at his table. The story ends with Jesus doing what he has done throughout the Gospels, breaking bread and giving fish to these people he loves, because his deep desire is to provide for us and meet our needs. It's not easy to move from the place that we've been, to move from what it is we've known into a new relationship with God. Heck, it's not easy to do that with another person. But yet the gift that the Lord of love, who pursues us with reckless abandon, offers is worth whatever cost it might take, that we would not miss the fullness of life that he longs to give. May this Galilean service, may this 68th year of this ministry be the place where we encounter Jesus in new ways the most. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray with me, please. Gracious and loving God, we gather in this space, aware of you, hungry for you, longing not to satisfy ourselves with a former day's understanding of you. Nor we long for the fullness of life, of faith, of engagement with you, that you promised to give. Lord, we thank you for the story of these disciples who walked with you in bodily form day in and day out, and then still were confused and ran away. And yet we see in them the very character of who you are, chasing them down, revealing your love, providing what you have, giving abundantly to them. And we thank you that that is true for us too. Lord, give us eyes to see the ways that you are showing up in our midst. Give us courage to take steps to believe that it's you. And give us faith to engage with you more fully, that we might know the wholeness of life that comes only from you. Pour out your Holy Spirit on the Galilean service, that in this 68th year, you might reign in this place, and that you might draw people into deep, abiding relationship with you. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's children said, amen.
If you will please stand, and we will sing our closing song, which is just a chorus of He Who Began a Good Work in You. And remember, God is still working on all of us. We are in the midst of it all now, and He has a different perspective. He who began a good work in you, He who began a good work in you, to come.